Over 200 experts have shared their secrets to a successful business. Join me, Rose Davidson, as I discover how these experts took their businesses to the next level.
Talking with the experts.
Welcome to Talking with the Experts. Talking about all things business by business owners for business owners. Episode 248 with Gail Smurden.
If we can just connect over one thing, I think that's a huge benefit that we can sort of share with society and the world, because, you know, we're a very divisive place, and I think this is a great place to start to try and get some connections. So yeah, I'd probably say if you can't get any impact with your organization, then start thinking about how your team can get together and share the purpose, share what it is that you know you have to do, who's the best person to do it, what's one thing that we could really do that would change how we work together as a team, and can we find small amounts of time when we can actually, you know, test some things out to see how that's working for us. So yeah, I think we can do it at a lot of levels, and then if we can't do it at a team level, then, you know, there's lots of resources around helping you find focus and just prioritizing the thing that's meaningful, that's going to sort of give you your best bang for your buck.
Talking with the Experts.
Hello and welcome to Talking with the Experts. I'm Rose Davidson, your host from rosedavidson.com. I almost forgot where I worked then. Talking with the Experts is about all things business by business owners for business owners, and you can find it on all good podcasting streaming platforms and on YouTube. And I'd love it if you just go over to the YouTube channel, click on the subscribe button, and don't forget to ding the bell so that you get notified whenever there's a new episode uploaded. My guest today is Gail Smurden. Hello, Gail.
Well done. Not a lot of people get that right, but well done you.
Gail is a sociologist and workplace culture expert who works predominantly with government and not-for-profit organisations. She has a new book out called Do One Thing and Do It Deep. It's about helping workplaces identify and accomplish whatever matters most to their success. Gail's message is simple and practical. Stop wasting time, money, and the goodwill of your employees by trying to do too much, doing nothing, or doing nothing that doesn't make a difference. And that causes disengagement, frustration, and overwhelm. And I have worked in a number of workplaces that do just that. So welcome, Gail, and I look forward to our conversation.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, I think we've all worked in those organisations, hence, you know, the book.
it's a horrible place to be, and it doesn't make for a happy workplace.
No, it does not. It does not. And it doesn't matter which end of the scale you're on, whether people are doing way, way too much and doing, you know, too many things, or they're not implementing stuff. You know, they're doing things, but nothing ever gets finished. It's really frustrating for people.
I'm very guilty of that in my own business. At the moment, I'm trying to do three things at once when I should just be concentrating on one, because I'm finding I'm making too many errors and it's taking me so much longer than it needs to.
Yeah, shiny objects. They just, I'll do that one now.
Yeah,
it's the same for people as it is for organisations. I think we're just, you know, distracted by all the, you know, many wonderful things we can be doing, and rather than focusing on getting something done and getting it done well.
So how can employers, I guess, change that mindset around to make it so that, you know, employees are more engaged and they're not chasing those shiny objects?
Well, I think it starts at the top. I think you have to have leaders engaged. There's a real impetus for leaders to act as sponsors. One of the things I talk about in the book is almost running something like a campaign where you take a part of your strategy or one idea that looks like it's going to be a really good catalyst for people, and you really promote that. So leaders would work on it like a political campaign is sort of the analogy that I use. You know, they go out and talk to their people about this thing that matters, this one thing that matters. They go on a listening tour, because that's a very popular thing to do on a political campaign. And then, you know, really formulate what's the message, what's the important thing, and how do we keep people engaged with that? How do we as leaders make sure that we're acting in alignment with the thing that we're talking about and holding other people to account to that as well, because that's really important. And, you know, giving people praise when they're doing something outstanding that backs that up. So it's like a little journey that you take until you get enough people on board who are keen to, you know, keep promoting this, and it sort of takes on a whole life of its own then.
It does actually, yeah. And I don't know, I mean, even if it's just like an organisation or a not-for-profit, what about the small business owner that might just have one or two employees?
I think it's even easier, really, because they're just all there and you can just all talk to them. I think, you know, the more complex the organisation, the more complex it's going to be. But I don't know that a lot of small business owners are thinking quite like this at the moment. I think everyone's pretty distracted at the moment. But for me, this is the perfect time to get your people together and say what matters right now for us personally, for our business, for where we want to go, and okay, what's the one thing that we really think we can achieve? Because everyone's really, really busy. Like, we don't have time to take on massive, you know, development campaigns that's the only thing we're doing. We've got a lot of things to get done. But if we could find a way, even in a small business, to sort of align that around a certain concept, and so that we can see that everything we do fits in with this thing that we're doing, I just have a sense that releases a whole lot of energy in an organisation, because energy follows attention. And if you've got the support and the attention of the people that are working in the business, and their energy is focused all on one thing, it's like a laser, and it can, you know, just make such a difference and cut through some things that just don't matter.
Yeah, it's I mean, in that way, it's good when, you know, you've got face-to-face, but what about if you've got remote workers?
I think it's possibly got some challenges, but possibly got some advantages too. There's still conversations that you can have around ideas about how you work and how you do things. It's just you have to do it a bit differently. And look, we're still a little bit new at doing that, so I think we just need to be kind. But if our intention's right, if we really want to engage people, hear what matters to them, hear what's going to, you know, make a difference to the business as well, I think there are ways that we can do it. We've just got to accept that our working styles are a little bit all over the place at the moment, and we're finding our way. So, I think it's a great time to be saying what's the thing that we need to do now. So those conversations around how we work have been some of the things that have been really interesting and critical just lately.
Yeah, I agree. I think and remote work is going to be the way of the future, I believe. So, you know, there'll be hybrid businesses now where we are not only working in an office, but, you know, we have remote workers, even though that they might be local, they're still working remotely because, you know, this pandemic's never going to go away.
It's not feeling like that, is it? How hopeful were we at the beginning of January?
Oh, yeah.
Only a few days ago.
Yes, I've got a family, my daughter's got it, she lives in Melbourne, and so, yeah, I'm just devastated. And my son, his wife, I mean, I'm getting off track a little bit, but his partner went to a hen's night over the weekend, and one of the attendees was COVID positive, so everyone at the hen's night is now a close contact, and my son he's a truck driver, he can't go home because she's been a close contact of somebody. So
yeah, you know, it does seem to be impacting more and more people, and you know, some of the business
who won't hear to talk about that. It yeah. just Just
some of the businesses, though, who thought they were just about ready to get back on track and do something different are not doing that at the moment. And that's a bit sad.
It is very sad. However, now, do you find that, you know, getting it right and working together and having conversations is a cultural thing? Like, you know, is it different in the US than it is in Australia?
I probably think that there are some cultural differences, but I think that there's more cultural sameness in organisations. So, there's difference, there's sameness in everything. So, but the idea around doing one thing and doing it deep, I think that's sort of a bit universal.
It is, yeah. I've spoken with lots of people about, you know, similar subject to this, and most of them are from the US or from in the subcontinent, and they relate the same. It's just it's the same and different. It just depends on the workplace, I think.
Yeah. Well, I remember sort of how this all catalyzed for me a few years ago. I was in a government department, and I was just coming back from a meeting where I'd been given another project, and I was sort of standing in the middle of the floor thinking, how am I going to get this done? I don't have any idea how this fits in with the strategy at the moment. I've been told to prioritise this and to push some other projects that were sort of ticking along, you know, pushing them to one side. So I was really concerned for the stakeholders in those projects and how we were going to manage that, and just how I was going to find the time to get everything done. And I was just standing there near my desk, and I just took a deep breath and I went, oh, can we do one thing? And then I really had to laugh, because the previous job in a building about a block away, I used to walk around on those floors going, can't we just do one thing? But it was always because things never got done. Like everything was held up. It was always going to another committee or another stakeholder, or we weren't sure if it was the right time yet, or someone new would come in and they'd change priorities. And, you know, I hear those sort of demoralising stories from coaching clients a lot. And I also hear the exhaustion and frustration for people who just, you know, there's just too much to do, and it just doesn't seem to be getting any better.
And, you know, I do think that employers or managers or whatever need to, you know, have a chat with the staff. I mean, just because there's been a handover at the managerial level doesn't mean that the staff are aware of what's going on. And, they should be the first place of call, you know, see where everyone is in a particular project before dishing out more stuff to them that is going to overload them and stress them out and give them burnout.
Yeah. Those conversations are just critical, and to understand how they fit with the work that's going on. I've worked for some leaders who are wonderful, wonderful people, but they just don't ask enough questions of the executive about why this is a priority. So sometimes they don't have the answers for you. It's just because, you know, we've been told to do this, now we're going to do this. And for me, you know, there's a strength in a leader who can say, well, we're meant to be focusing on this, so I need to be able to talk to my staff about, you know, why it is that this is changing. So sometimes there's some conversations that need to be held a little bit further up to make sure that you can bring some good information to the people on the ground who are going to feel the impact.
So out of the book, are there any strategies that people can do or take on board that could help them move forward to, you know, a better workplace?
So one of the things is really to get the managers and the leaders on board with an idea of finding one thing to do and trying it out, just testing out some small way that we can get behind one purpose and one idea, because we know how deeply engaging, how enriching, how much better productivity is when we're working in an organisation where we understand the purpose. If we can't get that to happen, then we can do something just more locally in our own teams, and we have a little bit more control over that. And actually, I'm just I'm writing a new book for teams because I think there's some other things that we can say to them about how they can actually take some control. Because that sense of autonomy when we feel we have, you know, some control over what it is that we do is, you know, it's one of the things that stops you from feeling stressed, getting burnt out and, you know, really engaging and enjoying what you're doing. And sort of on a bigger level, if we can just connect with the people in our teams or the people in our organisations, that's a great thing, even if we don't agree with them. If we can just connect over one thing, I think that's a huge benefit that we can sort of share with society and the world because, you know, we're a very divisive place and I think this is a great place to start to try and get some connection. So, yeah, I'd probably say if you can't get any impact with your organisation, then start thinking about how your team can get together and share the purpose, share what it is that, you know, you have to do, who's the best person to do it, what's one thing that we could really do that would change how we work together as a team, and can we find small amounts of time when we can actually, you know, test some things out to see how that's working for us. So, yeah, I think we can do it on a lot of levels, and then if we can't do it at a team level, then, you know, there's lots of resources around helping you find focus and just prioritising the thing that's meaningful, that's going to sort of give you the best bang for your buck and getting that happening. So there's quite a few resources around that, I think.
There's always the ugly stick, I suppose.
Sorry, the what?
The ugly stick.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, it's okay. It's just me being a smart. Yeah. Ugly stick is you know, when you like the cane, I guess.
Oh, okay. All right, yes. So yeah, you do have to be able to hold the line on some things, definitely. It's, you know, we know that working in teams, working with organizations, it's brilliant when we can get everyone working together, but it's not easy. We know that, you know, having a diverse group of a bunch of ideas in a room is the way to get the best idea, but it doesn't mean it's an easy thing to do. So having small trials of ways to do that where the stakes aren't terribly high, that can be a good thing. One of the teams that I was working with we were thinking about what's the one thing that we could change that would really, really make a difference to our team and how it operated. And they came back with, you know, something for consultants, which is pretty normal. They said, we need better communication. And it's like, okay, that's yes, probably. But what does that mean to you? And when we sort of delved into what that actually meant and what was one thing that they think they had some control over that they could make a difference to, we sort of got down to this idea of thinking about how we did meetings and what we could do to make that better, because we were spending an awful lot of time in meetings that we didn't know, you know, why we were there. So we wrote some scripts and we did some testing around how can we really, really politely find out whether or not we're actually needed there, because we want to be good corporate citizens. You know, we don't want to be an ass about this. But, you know, if we're not needed, then we should be spending our time doing something more important and, you know, more valuable for the organisation. And so people tested things out over a week and came up with, you know, all sorts of suggestions and found out lots of different things. So, you know, working it out together is a really, really good thing to do, and doing little tiny experiments where you've got some control. And the thing I like to do is try and make it a bit fun. So I like to try and make it a bit of a game. And, you know, come up with some silly titles and just get people, you know, involved, because you want it to be sticky. You want people to be able to grasp it easily and then not forget it because, you know, because it's a bit silly.
Yeah, I so dislike having to go to meetings that I don't really need to participate in, but, you know, it's a group meeting and everyone must attend and, you know, what's the point? I'm just sitting there twiddling my thumbs and I think, you know, I could be doing something else. And it just, yeah, it's so disheartening.
Yeah. When and three other people in your team are already in the meeting. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah. But, you know, they started to find that the idea spread a little bit. So, you know, they talked to organisers, and sometimes it was just, no, the director said they wanted you there. Well, that was it. You were there. But, you know, if you offered to, what is it that I could be doing at this meeting? How do I need to prepare? Is there something you want me to make a decision on, or is we just, you know, want me to have some information? You know, just having those conversations started to change the conversation, which was, you know, really quite good.
Yes, I agree. Totally. I think if workplaces adopted that, especially the government departments, if they adopted that sort of an outlook, then a lot of more employees would be happier, for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So
it's such an easy win, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah. So what's your new book? This stuff isn't hard.
What's your new book going to be called?
I've got a working title at the moment called Team Up, How to Lift Your People and Performance, something like that.
Sounds all right. So when's that going to come out?
Later this year. I haven't locked in a date yet, but I expect it'll be towards the end of the year, so probably November. Quite a lot of it's written, but I find it takes a lot of time after you've done the writing to the first time to get it all together and printed and out there. So, absolutely. Yeah, that was a bit of a surprise with the first couple of books. Yeah. So it's like, oh, I've written it. Shouldn't it be out now? So I wrote the first one I wrote was called I Develop. How to take charge of your professional development by being a conscious learner. So this was about making sure that you were responsible for your learning, because it's your career. And having done, you know, worked in learning and development for a long time, I sort of got a little bit disenchanted of people saying, oh no, well, that's not quite right for me, and you never give me any training. And it's like, there's knowledge out there everywhere, people. It isn't hard to try and, you know, build in a little bit if you want to make some time for it. And so I just put together some easy ways where you can find some information, test some stuff out, and work on the thing that matters to you. Because quite often, you know, programs in organisations, they're not at the right time. They're not at the level that you need. You're either relearning stuff you already know, or, you know, they're too advanced and you can't keep up, and you haven't got time to ask questions and you can't test it out. But if you take charge of your learning and, you know, work on project you, so the thing that you most want to do, and just find one thing that's going to help towards that, and look at all the different ways you can learn by, you know, taking in information, by getting feedback from people, by, you know, having a coach or a mentor. So doing reflective practice. So all of the things that you can do to take charge of your development and just, you know, learn stuff every day, because that's the fun of it for me, I think. Yeah. I am an eternal learner, though. I just can't seem to stop learning stuff. A learner tick, I think, was something else someone said.
A learner tick, yeah. A little bit like me, yeah. Okay, where can people find you if they want to work with you?
I think I'm pretty easily findable. So just gailsmerdon.com. I'm on the internet, or you can check me out on LinkedIn, sign up and get in touch with me that way. Yep. So I'm pretty findable. If you can spell my name, you're good.
Oh, good. It's pretty easy to spell. So have you got any last words of wisdom that you'd like to share today?
Oh, look, I think words of wisdom are one of the things that I think coming out of the last couple of years is we have a huge opportunity to focus on one thing that really matters to us, and to really look at what that is. And I think it was Gary McKeon who wrote Essentialism that said, do less better. So that would be my thing. Just find something that's meaningful, and don't waste time on stuff that doesn't matter. We don't have the time.
No, not anymore. No, it's not like you can just sit behind the desk now and just, you know, dawdle your day away and achieve absolutely nothing. Those days are gone forever.
Yeah. And it's no fun. It's no fun to do that.
Boring.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for joining me. Just a final question. Where can people find your book?
Oh, so just go to the website. Yeah, you get special presents if you buy it off the website. So it's just there in the resources. Pretty straightforward to buy. Yeah.
Terrific. All right. Well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
It's been lovely to talk to you too. And yeah, good luck with 2022. And here's hoping that, you know, things get better quickly.
Thanks so much.
Talking with the experts.
Thanks for joining me on Talking with the Experts. Make sure you subscribe through your favourite podcast app or on YouTube, and check out my Patreon page for more value for you, or you can buy me a coffee. My name's Rose Davidson from rosedavidson.com. I look forward to your company next time when I'm talking with the experts.